I want you to turn with me tonight into the book of Leviticus. So if you've only brought your New Testament thinking you know me, it proves you don't. And here we're going to read in this lovely book of Leviticus in chapter 25. I want to read quite a portion. So I hope you brought your Bibles. If you happen to forget it tonight, don't forget it in the morning, because I'm due to speak again in the morning. It isn't that Norma's being crowded out. My voice is usually best at the beginning of the conference. That's the way we're going. All right. 25 then of the book of Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed. For it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beast that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thine vine undressed, for it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another according to the number of years after the jubilee thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell unto thee. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God, Wherefore ye shall do my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow, nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the eighth year, and eat yet of the old fruit until the ninth year. Until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store, for the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. And you are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption for the land. Wouldn't it be lovely to go on and keep on reading it? Tonight I want to talk to you about the Sabbath and Jubilee. The Jubilee was the 50th year. They had to count when they got into the land, and they were in the desert at Mount Sinai when God said these things. They had to count through 7 sevens of years, 49 years. And then the next year, they were to keep Jubilee. What a marvelous thing. Now, I want to ask you whether you are keeping Jubilee. You see, the strange thing about people is this. They think, like the children of Israel thought, we're going to be led into the promised land. We shall get there. The land is ours. We call it the land of Israel. But did you notice what God said? He says, it's mine. It's not yours. It's mine. You got that? It's all God's. What a marvelous thing it is when people claim things that aren't their own. Or being in the boastful vein that is sometimes called faith, and that you have to make big claims, they still steal from God, or try to, what is God's and God's alone. What a tremendous thing it is to read the book and find out the truth about these great and wonderful things. Of course, by all men's ideas, it was completely ridiculous. If you don't sow, then you won't reap. If you don't reap, you won't have any food. And if we don't have any food, we'll die. That's exactly what they were saying in their minds. How are we going to do it? This often frightens people. How can it be? How is it going to work out? Can we trust this God that you're talking about? Is it real? And this is the thing that God was talking about. You know, beloved, this whole matter of salvation, of the 7 years, the Sabbath, and the 50th year, it is something that is ingrained in the whole gospel message. This is the thing that you have to see. We said these things before, and I suppose it's been said here. And that is that as soon as God created Adam, he took him straight into the Sabbath. Before he'd done a stroke of work, he never said, Adam, you're in the garden, and you've got to keep it for me, and so on and so on and so on. He created him. He'd never done a stroke of work. He'd never lifted a finger, so far as we read in the scripture. And God said, come into Sabbath. My Sabbath, God created the Sabbath. He created it, and it was so wonderful. It must have been wonderful, very wonderful to Adam, to go straight into God's rest. Marvelous. As though God was saying to him, Adam, You know why I've created you? You know why I breathed spirit into you? Breathed the breath of life into you? Without which you'd just be a handful of dust in the shape of a man. That's all you'd be. Lots of people are like that today. I created you to come into Sabbath. Adam, I want you to learn how to keep the garden. No. I want you to learn how to do this or how to do that. No. I want you to learn me. That's the lesson. It's still the lesson. To learn me. Afterwards, I'm sure he instructed Adam in the ways in which he should do this or do that. I'm sure he did. But the first thing he said, really without saying it, is, I want you to come and know your Creator. I want you to come into my rest. Rest with me, Adam. Beautiful world, isn't it? Lots to do, isn't there? Don't do anything. Not yet. Just come in and learn me. You know, we've been singing about love tonight. And you can even fall in love with love, if you know what I mean, if you're not very careful. The word and the exercise of it and all kinds of things. Come and learn me, he says. I wonder. Well, I won't say it. Yes, I will. I've got a lot of questions I'm going to ask when I get to heaven. A lot of things I'm so ignorant of. But I'm thankful that I can read this book, by his grace, read it aright, and understand what God is saying, and can enter into it somewhat to learn of him. That's what he did. And if you turn back with me, that's why I want you to bring your Bibles when you come into the 23rd chapter, just a little way from 25 into 23. God finishes up the 22nd chapter with these words. Are you reading with me? Verse 32 will do. I am the Lord which hallow you, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. Now this is why he brought them out. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. It's amazing, isn't it? When you read on down through this chapter, you will find the Day of Atonement. You'll find all kinds of things, the Feast of the Lord. But he didn't put the Day of Atonement first. Do you understand this? He didn't put that first. He didn't put the Feast of this or the Feast of something else. He's the first thing he said was this Sabbath. The rest. When you do nothing. And I do everything. The Sabbath was the day in which God was going to show to Adam that he was the creator. Just learning him. Lie on his bosom. That's what he wants. Oh, this brouhaha, this rushing here and rushing there, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to China, I'm going to Africa, I'm going to somewhere else, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You're not fit to go until you've learned rest, because you'll only take your unrest with you. These things are not first. Jesus spent 3.5 years trying to teach people who he was before he said, now go into all the world and preach the gospel, but wait until you're full of the Holy Ghost. Wasn't till then. 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Well, that's half a week if we count a day for a year. And we need to do that. For if I was to say to you, 7/7 of years, 7 days, 7 years, how many Sabbaths in a year? Do you know how many weeks I had in a year? You don't. I won't ask you, because the Hebrew week was an exact 28 days, and I might trip you up on that. I don't want to do that. Only 28 days. They had calendar. They went by the moon, not by the sun. And that's the big thing for us to understand. But you think that all the way through, just say for the, 52, if you like, to think according to the Western idea. 52. 7 times 52. Okay, that's a lot, isn't it? And then count 7 times 52. And when you got to the end of it, you come to the 50th year. And if you put days for years, which is the Bible method, you must have heard of this word 50 before, this number 50. You remember? Can you recall it? Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. So Jubilee in type, and in prophecy, that's as far as the type goes, was Pentecost. They never had a Pentecostal experience. They never had it. New birth was not available under the old covenant. I'm going to look at this a little more closely as we go through. Perhaps if I don't finish tonight, I've got tomorrow morning by Norman's generosity. And so we shall see this great thing. 50 days, a day for a year. How good God is. He wrote it into everything he did. You know, God is a God of method and of logic. It's a marvelous thing. He puts things in the Bible and you read it, and well, you read it and you believe it. But it's all leading on to something else. It's come out of the great pattern of his love, his power, the things he is yet going to do. Marvelous. You don't need to tell me to tell you that those 49 Sabbaths went past. 49 days when we get to the Acts of the Apostles. And then that great 50th day when life was going to come, real life. And you know, beloved, that's just what these people proved in the old method under the old covenant. They were really going to prove God's power. I mean, it was ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, that they should sow on the 48th year, okay, reap in the 40th, for the end of the 48th year, go into the 49th, don't sow anything, nothing. And what they had sown in that 48th year, they mustn't reap it. It stood there waving thick with corn, for the hand of the Lord was upon it. You know, when they went into the promised land, that's the thing they saw. It was barley harvest when they crossed Jordan. Moses saw these great waving fields, white under the bleaching sun. Wasn't allowed to go over because he represented the law. And the book of Joshua represents grace. But there it is. You say, let this stand in the field and rot. We sowed this. Let's be logical. Let's be sensible. I mean, God's given us common sense, man. You sow it, you reap it. It's everything's ready for reaping, and you just had to let it stand there. And all that precious grain had to turn to seed, and fall into the ground and die, birds would take it, everything would take it. Man, this isn't sensible. I mean, God's given us common sense, hasn't he? That's probably the thing that's tripped you up. For this is wisdom that he doesn't explain. Wisdom of love in his heart. Wisdom that he was going to show them his marvelous power. If only they would do as he said. That's all. He told them. We read it. The land isn't yours. You say you're going over to possess the land. I want to tell you it's mine. The land is mine. He didn't lease it to them. He gave them the opportunity to live in that blessed land. He said, my eye is always upon it. From one end of the year to the other, this is the way he spoke to them. You can find this in the book of Deuteronomy. That's what he said. All I want you to be is my people. Be a people I want. Be a people unto me. And when you are a people unto me, you'll prove that I am your God. So, well, he proved he was before he brought us over Jordan. Brought us over the Red Sea. He did all kinds of things. He redeemed us. He's proved himself. He says, that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. It's a wonderful beginning. You know, you can get so taken up with your beginning and keep on giving your testimony till in the end it gives people the earache to hear it. Keep on about it. And as though that's all that there is. It is the beginning. Hallelujah. I've got a land. I've got a land. Now listen. I'm going to read in that same glorious chapter where we read together. That is in that 25th chapter of Leviticus. And this is what he said. Verse 23 of that 25th chapter. Listen. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. Now listen to this. And you are strangers and sojourners with me. I'm only sojourning in the land. I'm a stranger. And I say, oh, but the earth is mine. What are you talking about, man? Oh. Bend your ear to listen to God. People don't. They come up with accepted phraseology. We all fall foul of it at some time in our lives. It's the way others talk, so we talk like it. Listen. You are strangers. Verse 23. See that it's right. You are strangers and sojourners with me. With me. You know, the fact is that God is a stranger on this earth. Did you know that? His real home is heaven. In the heaven of heavens. Even in Eden when he came down, he only came down and paid a visit and went back again. It's a wonderful thing to realize. He used to come down and it was so great. He loved the beauty that he'd been able to project from his heart into a creation. The loveliness and the glory of it. Didn't live here. And you know, when he got people to make the tabernacle, he showed them he was a stranger. He wanted everything according to his design. He was trying to show them something. If only we'd let God teach us these things. He keeps on almost knocking at our heart's door or shaking us, trying to wake us up, make us read this book, make us go on and not just keep relying on our testimonies or our experience. Great though it is, you must not rely on an experienced young man, young woman. You must rely on him. We haven't come to learn about the wonders of you. We want to learn about the wonders of God. Because you've got to have a testimony. It's got to be real. It's got to be far more than you believe. And this is what God was trying to show them. He said, let them make me, this is in the 25th chapter of Exodus, but don't turn to it. He says, let them make me a tent. I want this kind of tent. Now listen, I'm really a stranger here. I want to live in one certain place. I'll put a column of smoke above it, a cloud, and I'll know that I'm there. But I don't really live here, and I want my tent pitched on sockets of silver. You know that silver stands for redemption. You know, Peter said this in his first epistle. He said, you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, according to your father's vain manner of life, he said. But everything he was doing in type, the real type, everything was prophecy. Everything was prophetic of the future. It was all going to be fulfilled, or most of it, when the Lord Jesus came to the earth. He worked it all out in his flesh. Oh, beloved, he was the consummation of a whole inheritance of prophecy. And what God was saying by this, that, and the other. And he said, no, I'm a stranger here. I want a particular family, a particular tribe, a particular family. They'll be my servants. I'll put this and I'll put that. And I'm going to be there beyond the veil. I don't really belong here. The heaven of heavens cannot contain me, said Solomon. He knew it. You know, beloved, when we get to this real experience of the Lord, we want to be on our knees. I was at a meeting somewhere, I think it was last Sunday morning. We had a wonderful time last Sunday morning. And I heard this gospel preached as I've never heard anybody else preach it. Never. And I said, I want to be down there. I wanted to be down on my knees, on my face on the floor, to learn God, to open myself unto God and rise from my knees having received more than at the moment I knew. Just simply because I obeyed and opened my heart, give him more of my being, let him expand me, not have to explain it to me, give me the structure of the soul and all this kind of thing. But just to let him pour in, I know I shall rise, containing more than my mind has been able to take in. Comes out later in preaching and prophecy. But here's the thing, beloved. He said, they can't come near. I'll dwell there. I'll dwell in the midst, but you know, I'm a sojourner here. Make me a tent. A tent is the sign of the sojourner. You pitch your tent, you take it down, and you move on. Hallelujah. You know, some of you are going to sleep in tents. I hope you're going to sleep tonight. It's not the easiest thing to sleep first night. But there it is. And, you know, after this week, so your tent will come up. You'll move on somewhere else. And don't you see, beloved, God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to be his heavenly people. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the thing he's talking about. The land's mine, he said. I can do what I like with my land. But remember, I've not married it. I created it. But it's not me. Now, you can have your portion. That can be yours. This is the way to treat my property. It's all right, I haven't joined the Green Party or anything like that. I'm not gone ecology mad. That's a new religion, so don't get tangled with it. Here is the thing for you to understand, beloved. There's no way of saving this earth. You know that, don't you? You come to die, and I don't think people should do stupid things with it, but there's no way of saving it. Here is the thing that we must see, beloved. It's his. And when they started to reason and say, how are we going to live, man? Mustn't sow in the seventh year. Mustn't sow again in the 50th year. We should die. That's right. God said, oh no. You do what I say, and I'll make my land bring forth enough for 3 years. 3 years. Hallelujah. Now you're not to go out and reap. You're not to try any sly methods. You're not to fill your larder up. You're to go out like the birds every morning and find your food on the land. Like you did in the wilderness, or like you're going to do now. He's talking at Sinai when he said it. You're going to go out in the morning and you're going to get your measure of manna. And I'm telling you that you've got to live like that with me for the rest of your life. That's what he's saying. Hard to job believe it now when we have deep freezes and fridges and pray that God will supply the need of the starving world. I don't know quite how we get round this one with God. But I don't know. I don't know how we excuse ourselves. But here is the thing. Beloved, I'm going to. You are going to learn my bounty. You're going to learn me. The great thing about it, beloved, is this. We love this word redemption. We love to think of being redeemed. When God told Moses to tell them in the land of Egypt that they would get a lamb and eat it, sprinkle the blood on their homes. We love to think it was all about redemption, but you won't find the word redeemed in that chapter. Did you know that? We do need to read our Bibles carefully. Nothing about redemption. It's later. It's Isaiah is the great one who talks about, thou hast redeemed thy people. Really makes you think when you really read the Bible, doesn't it? The ideas we get into our head. He never talked about that. Never talked about it. Hallelujah. But did you know that there's more about redemption in this 25th and on into the 27th chapter of Leviticus, in those two chapters, than there is in the rest of the Bible? Did you know that? And did you know, most of all, it's about the land and not about the people? You read it. Just read it. Read it carefully. Redeemed the land. It's mine. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. Wonderful, really. Well, how about the New Testament? The word redeemed doesn't occur much in the New Testament. Did you know that? Did you know that? Just keep reading your Bibles, beloved. You'll learn. It's all there to be read. What God is showing us is this. I've got to get down to basics. You came from the ground. You came from the dust. Oh, that God would bring us down to these wonderful, simple, basic things about belonging to Him. You've been redeemed, beloved. Been redeemed. Now I know we can say our bodies are not yet redeemed, but in a sense they are. They are. We say the redemption of the body, that has to do when the Lord is coming back and we're going to be translated in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and all those things, that's absolutely right. But you do realize your body has been redeemed, don't you? Or do you? This earth that by God's wonderful power was turned into flesh and into bone has been redeemed. If you are the Lord's, it belongs to Him. It's my land, he said. Go and look at your hand now. Look at yourself. When you go to bed tonight, have a look at your body. Say it's God's. It's yours, Lord. You know, I often say this to young people when they come and talk to me. They, you know, the young man, each young lady, it happens occasionally. And they come and they say they want to get married. And sometimes I'll say to the man, you realize that this girl that's going to be your wife, that her body belongs to God, not you. Vice versa, too. His body belongs to God. Keep it clear. Great thing to keep clear. You're mine, he says. You're mine. Oh, to be swallowed up by the wonder of belonging to him. Now you can sojourn in this land with me, he says. I'm a sojourner. You know he was a stranger on the earth. All the other nations have got gods of their own, what they called gods. Here, made them out of wood, stone, lumps and heaps of dung. Did you know that? It's the word used in the Hebrew, dung idol. Anything to call God, call filth God. That's the sort of thing, isn't it? I'm a stranger here. Now come and be a stranger here with me, will you? Come, belong to me. Come to the basic things. I can cause you in every department of your being to be fruitful. I can multiply you. I can do wonders. And here in this earth, by the miracle of God, wonderful things can spring forth if we'll let him plant the seeds of it in us. You're not to eat the grapes, you're not to pack yourself up with bottles of wine or jars of jam or anything else. I'm going to make it happen for you. What I want is your trust. I want you to believe me 100%. One of the most charming things I ever learned of God, and you have to keep on learning it all the way through, is that when God, the Lord Jesus, wanted to tell his disciples how to live, he said, look at the birds, look at the flowers, and I want you to live like that. The birds never ask me for anything to eat. They never ask me. Not once has a bird asked me to feed it. You're better than birds. Aren't you? Answer the question. How much better are you than birds? Oh, but this and there's that. And there's the other. And so he taught his disciples. I might come on to this sometime during the course of these days together. He taught his disciples to say just this. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the only request he made. Forgive us our trespasses, but This is the request put in their mouth. I want you to live like the birds live, he said. They would go out in the morning and they would gather what was there. The earth was bringing forth of itself. And just across the road there would be a bird picking at the same seed that they were going to eat. Nothing about curries or Mexican food or boiled beef and carrots. Nothing like that. Well, how are we going to live? What we've all developed is expensive tastes. And how we like to fulfill them. If only the Lord could get us back to this simplicity. And you know, he's never going to accomplish it on this earth. He's never going to. It isn't that he hasn't got power. It's because his people don't trust him. That's why. It isn't that he hasn't power. People no longer believe the Bible. Christians chiefly. On the basic things of life. Got to learn to live. Somebody said, pardon this personal, somebody said to me some time back, I want to give you £100 a month. I said, no, thank you. Well, why not? We want to give. I said, no, I shall look to that. If you say you're going to do it, I shall look to it and I shan't be looking to God. Unbelievable, isn't it? Well, now you've heard somebody say it. Beloved, I've got to learn looking to the Lord. I'm going to make everything come forth, he said. I'm going to do it. Come and be a sojourner with me. Hallelujah. Oh, this year of Jubilee. It was going to be the greatest year of their lives. I mean, they could keep talking about, you've got this in the book of Isaiah, they could talk about God had redeemed them, God had brought them out of Egypt, until at last he said, I'm going to show you some new thing, I'm going to do a new thing. Stop talking to me about that. He doesn't put it that way, but you read, that's what he said. Don't keep talking about being redeemed from Egypt. I'm going to do a new thing.